You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
I'm Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Friday, August the 15th, episode 3755. This episode is brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, horse world. Well, Jamie and I, as you know, are off this week, and we continue some brand new episodes for you that I recorded last week. It's Founders Week, and that's the week when we meet the host that helped start the Horse Radio Network 17 years ago. In this episode, we get caught up with the very popular Dr. Wendy Ying of the Driving Radio Show and also co-host on very many occasions of Horses in the Morning. And she was also co-owner of Horse Radio Network. We talk about the past, the present, and the future. If you missed Monday, we caught up with Helena of the Stable Scoop Show and Wednesday with Samantha Clark of the World Equestrian Game Shows. Jamie and I should be back with you on Monday, back here, ready to do a brand new episode, hear all about her vacation, and I'll be bringing back some recordings from WESA, which is the trade show that we go to in Dallas, all about new products that are out there and available for you come the fall. Whether you're a new listener or an old-timer, I think you'll enjoy this walk down memory lane with Wendy, and also like to hear about what she is up to right now. Without these three people that we did this week, we would not have been as successful as we were here at the Horse Radio Network. And, you know, these three are around even before we started Horses in the Morning. We'll get Dr. Wendy on right after this word from Kentucky Performance Products.
This Nutritional Minute is brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. Electrolytes. Who needs them? Your horse, that's who. Electrolytes perform critical functions within your horse's body. They help regulate nerve and muscle functions by carrying electrical impulses between cells. In addition, electrolytes assist the body in maintaining a healthy fluid balance by controlling your horse's desire to drink. When your horse loses significant amounts of electrolytes and fluids, problems such as dehydration, muscle cramping, fatigue, tying up, and colic may occur. Even in mild forms, these conditions can have a negative impact on your horse's ability to perform and recover after exercise. Horses that are ridden regularly or those that live in hot, humid climates may lose more electrolytes than their bodies are capable of replacing with a normal diet. In these instances, it is necessary to replenish lost electrolytes and keep your horse drinking. Summer Games Electrolyte replenishes the electrolytes and trace minerals lost when your horse sweats, and it stimulates the thirst response so your horse continues to drink and stay properly hydrated. Summer Games was developed for the 1996 Summer Olympics in Atlanta. Trust Summer Games Electrolyte to protect your horse when the going gets hot. To learn more, visit kppusa.com. Got questions about your feeding program? We can help. Email Karen at questions@kppusa.com or call us at 859-873-2974.
Hi, Wendy. It's so good to talk to you on a microphone again.
Hi, Glenn. Thanks for having me back. And hi to all the HRM people.
Everybody's been wondering what you've been up to. So I'm so glad that you agreed to do this with us for our Founders Week here on Horses in the Morning. Last time I saw you in person was for Radiothon, right? Last year.
Yeah, you came down because, wasn't it because of the hurricanes?
No, I think our internet was goofy or something. I don't remember. I don't remember why I came down.
We had just moved into the house.
That's right. We didn't have good internet. We didn't have
start. You were doing video.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. It was that. Yeah. It was because you had fiber and we needed to go down and get good internet. It was fun, though.
We have great internet.
It was so fun, though. It really was.
Yeah,
so,
that was great.
So, Wendy, what we're doing this week is I already interviewed Helena and Samantha, and you're the Friday show. So, and I kind of did it in the order I met everybody. So, right. Obviously, Helena was first. She helped start the network. And then Samantha I met next to do the WEG show. Yeah. And then you came along in 2010, right?
Right.
During WEG year.
During the WEG year, because you were in Kentucky, and I had just moved up to Kentucky for WEG.
That's right.
We're
and what happened
for WEG.
All right, everybody, this is a coincidence of coincidences, how Wendy and I met, because Jennifer wanted to do something for my birthday, and she wanted to do something special. I don't know if it was a certain year that year. I don't remember. But she wanted to do something special, so she called around trying to find somebody that had a four-in-hand of horses that I could drive, because I'd never done that before. And she ended up calling your boyfriend at the time.
Yeah.
And he happened to have Hackney ponies, which he knew I loved.
Well, no, you know what? It was on Easter. Your birthday's on Easter,
in April,
right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Easter Sunday.
Oh, that's what it was. It was actually Easter Sunday.
You couldn't find anybody that wanted to do anything with you on Easter Sunday. And I think it was Mike Arnold.
That's
call
right.
Wendy.
That's right. And Jennifer did this all without me knowing. And so it was a surprise when we went over there, and he happened to have four Hackney ponies, which was ended up being perfect because everybody knows I love Hackney ponies. And I ended up driving four, and Wendy was there sitting in the back of the wagon. I'll never forget that.
Yeah.
You were sitting in the, and I ended up talking to you a lot more than I did him. When we were done and driving home, I said to Jennifer, I like that Wendy. We're going to get her to do a show of some kind with us.
So. Well, I think that also you didn't know that I was trying to compete for WEG too.
I didn't know. No,
I don't. The four in hand of horses.
I don't think we
trying to compete for WEG, but I didn't qualify.
I called you, I think, the week or two after, right? Didn't I call you a week or two after?
Yeah, because we did an interview about the four in hand, and then it was with you and Helena.
That's right. For Stable Scoop.
And remember, I do this five elements thing where I like diagnose the horse and the person and like their relationship. And she had this crazy like water horse and she was like a fire person. Remember we did the like, you need to move on.
Yeah, you basically told her to get rid of the horse.
But she did. And she got a new Appaloosa and she was perfectly happy after that.
So you were right after all. So that we met because you were you were in the running for the WEG that year with what four horses did you have at the time?
I had my two little half Arab Welsh cobs, Duke and Dante.
That's right.
And remember, the Germans kept trying to get me to get rid of them and buy warm bloods. And I'm like, no, I either make it or I don't make it. But these two are going. And I didn't make it because I suck at dressage.
Yeah, Wendy doesn't have patience for dressage.
Yeah, we all suck at dressage. And they were like, even with some Dutch harness horses thrown in there, just like, and all of Chester's help and like a village of people trying to drag me across the finish line. We didn't make it, but it was fun. It was fun.
But it's how we met.
If I made it, it's not like I was going to win. You know, I'd make it around maybe. But
that's how we met. And we became very fast friends. And did we start the driving show that year or was it the next year after WEG?
I think so. I think we had that fun time driving the ponies. And you told me about the ponies. And we were talking about, I know what it was. We were talking about all these places that we've lived in the past that's the same, because didn't you live in Massachusetts?
Yeah, twice. Right. Yep.
And we were like, oh my God, we're from like another, you know, we're like past lives, whatever. We had tons of fun driving the ponies. And then you called me. I think that's when you called me to do the interview, because it was a test to see if I could make it.
That's how I auditioned almost every one of the hosts we've had on the network, is I had them as a guest first to see if they'd be any good. And then you passed that test with flying colors. And then I talked to you.
Yeah, that was on the phone.
Yep, that's right. And then I talked to you after about starting a driving show, because we both love driving. And you knew everybody. That's the thing. Wendy knew literally everybody in driving. She just...
I know, yeah. Back then, I was like the Kevin Bacon. Is that what his name is?
The seven
Kevin
degrees Bacon of whatever. Yes. You were...
Well, and especially when I was at gala, because everybody like seemed to end up there. Like, remember, like, Pagman ended up broken down in my driveway.
That's right.
I think, you know, one of the things is like, there's not a lot of Chinese people in driving. So it's like, it's not, you know, you kind of, you know, when you meet a ton of people at once at the horse show, you can't remember everybody's name, but like, there's not a lot of Yings around there driving.
No, you were the only Asian driver I knew. That's for sure. But we just got along so great. And yeah, I remember soon after we started the driving show, we were doing it weekly back then. And soon after Wendy just knew everybody. So she'd ask them and they'd come on, because literally when Wendy goes to a show, she talks to everyone. There's no reserve in Wendy. She just will talk to anybody.
Well, that's the whole fun of horse showing, right?
There's a big auction in Pennsylvania near where I grew up, and there's a big auction up there every year. It's the first year we were together, probably not too long after we started the driving show. We went to this carriage auction together, Martin's Auction. So it was like telling Jennifer, you know, this Asian driver I just met, we're going together to Pennsylvania.
That was super funny, actually, because we didn't think anything of it. We're like, oh, yeah, we're going to take a road trip.
Yeah.
We're going to go. We didn't have any hotel rooms.
No. We drove up from Kentucky, didn't we?
I think we drove from Kentucky.
And it was spur of the moment thing.
Remember I used to have that cool Durango and I had the flatbed to take the carriages on the Durango?
Yes, that's right.
That's what we took. We took the Durango. And I said, I should bring my trailer because we might buy carriages.
We got there and we did a couple episodes from there. We set up right outside the auction hall. They let us do it.
We're so great.
It was fun. We had a good time.
And that was another one where everybody that's in driving, you see them, everybody comes from pleasure driving and just people that just collect carriages that don't even drive show up there.
And we had a number of them on there and then continued to have them on throughout the years.
Yeah. I think, did you meet Barry there? Barry must have been there.
That's right. Barry, who used to come on all the time talking about history stuff. He was great. We met so many people there.
I have to remind you of something that's super funny.
Okay.
Remember the first time I did the show with you? I came to your house in Kentucky.
I don't remember.
When you lived across from that park. Remember in the little subdivision?
Yeah.
When you lived across from the park. So I came to your house and we were doing this show and I was all serious.
Oh, that's right.
Remember?
Yes.
Cause I was I don't know what I should do. So I guess I should sound like a real radio person. So I started talking like a NPR person, really soft and blah, 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 blah. And you're like, who the hell is this person? You're like, I didn't hire you to come on here and be boring.
I said that to you directly.
Oh,
I remember.
God, I don't know how long I can keep that up.
I remember telling Wendy, one thing the host will tell you is I don't pull many punches. I'm pretty direct. So I think I stopped the recording and said, we're not doing this. We're starting
you
over.
You did. You stopped. I was about to get fired.
That's funny.
Day one, I was going to get fired right there.
In person.
In person.
Because we had hung out some by then. You had been out with Jennifer and I, and we'd hung out some. Because, you know, when you lived in Lexington, it just seemed like we all hung out with everybody more.
Yeah.
You know, we went to stuff together, and you did things together. Because there was a lot of horsey things to do. So.
You know, that's the thing. It's like when I lived in Virginia, it was the same way. Because the town is all horsey. So when you go out, it's all your horse friends.
Yeah,
like
no.
Even if you go out and you just go to the bar with a couple people, you end up getting there and there's a whole bunch of your horse friends.
Yeah, no, Cal, I don't think it's quite that way, as intimate as it was in Lexington or Aiken.
Horse and Hound it is.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, and with the jumpers, I guess it would be. But anyway, so yeah, that's how we met. And then we started doing the driving radio show together. We did a lot of episodes, 500-600 of those?
I think when we first started, we were doing it once a week.
For years. For
you
years and years
me
and
out.
Years.
That's why I had to take a break.
I wore Wendy
I'm,
out.
I'm so disorganized. And then for me to have to plan.
There is a theme, because I've talked about this with Helena and Samantha. There is a theme. All my co-hosts, and Jamie, everybody knows that, all come sliding in at the last minute to record.
That's how I like to do it.
But they're all that. I apparently have a type. But, you know, that's a type A.
That's because we come in, we do the show, and then we leave, and we're not needy and don't ask you for anything until the next week.
That's true.
It's like the perfect woman.
That's true. Also, not a lot of prep there. So you had to book the guests, though, because you knew these people. So,
well, yeah. I mean, that's what I'm saying is, think about it. In 2010, 2011, it was such a different world. Texting.
Yeah.
I think I had just started texting. You know,
Podcasting was so new, nobody knew what it was. So we had to explain it to every guest we'd get on.
Yeah, we had to explain podcasting. Also, you know, like sometimes people are always on the road because you were like, we were doing it on Monday. So everybody's traveling home from the show or doing something. So, you know, they would have to pull over to the side of the road and they could be in the mountains in Virginia and the signal could be bad. And I mean, it wasn't easy.
No, it certainly wasn't. And were you even doing anything veterinary back then?
I think I just moved to Sarasota when we really were getting into it, right?
Yeah, yeah. So you were starting to get back into veterinary work then.
So I had moved to Sarasota. I was living in Judy and Phil's cottage on the side of the road.
That's right.
Bad internet. Remember that?
Yep.
And they were doing construction on the road.
I came down and we did a show or two there, and it was interesting.
It was so loud, and the internet was so bad. But I had just moved to Sarasota, so I didn't really have much going on. Like, I mean, it takes a while to kind of build a practice. So I was like, this is a perfect time to do the radio show. And I was doing a lot of driving. I was selling some harness.
Yeah, you did. You did. And you did for a couple of years after we started the show. You were still in driving and still in connection with all the drivers.
Yeah, I was still showing and doing stuff like that.
And, you know, one thing about Wendy is everybody loved Wendy. I mean, all the guests we had on knew Wendy, and they love Wendy because they had partied with her at a show somewhere. I don't think Wendy missed one show party in the history of driving. She was at them all.
That's what I'm saying. That's the fun of the show, you know.
We have a story to tell, and this involves your dad. We told this story years and years ago, but anybody listening now hasn't heard this story. So your dad lived on the coast of Massachusetts, and I unfortunately never got to meet your dad. So when Jennifer was working at Myopia Hunt Club up there, she was the manager up there, she had an employee named Rochelle. And so, you know, we were friends with Rochelle. She was super, we maintained friendship with her through the year. She actually went to Slovakia to do vet school.
Yeah. And she worked for Larry Poulin for years and years and years.
She was a groom, right? For one of the drivers. And you knew her from that.
Mm-hmm.
Tell the story.
She was always super. When I first started driving, like, she saved my butt a million times.
She was so nice. She was so sweet.
Yeah.
Did you tell the story of your dad?
Well, okay. So my dad was staying on this little cottage because he was going back to Massachusetts for cancer treatment because my dad had lung cancer. And he was like sitting on the front porch, and he said, this girl walked out of the water like an angel.
The ocean, right?
The ocean. She was like scuba diving or something. And he goes, this beautiful woman walks out of the ocean like an angel and says, oh my God, are you Wendy Ying's dad? And he's like, what the hell is going on here? He said he thought it was hallucinating. And it was such a letdown because he thought, oh, look at this beautiful mermaid's coming out of the water to come, like, you know, meet me. And then she's like, oh, are you Wendy's dad?
It was Rochelle.
Like, what a letdown.
How did he know him? How did she know him? Just pictures?
Because she saw pictures of him on my Facebook.
Oh, that's freaky, though. He must have been so freaked out.
I know.
That's so wild. That was a story.
Yeah, and then I think you interviewed her about it.
Yeah, so we had Rochelle on a bunch. She was going to vet school, and we had her on after she went to vet school. Unfortunately, she died after that. Was it cancer? Yeah, I think cancer, too.
She had, I think she had ovarian cancer.
Yeah, she died young in her
40s. Before anybody even knew that she had cancer.
Yeah, it was very sad because she had spent 40 years trying to get vet school done. And then it was a year or two after. But yeah, that was a funny story I still remember about your dad. I was so sorry to meet your dad. I think I would have liked your dad a lot.
You guys would have been like best buddies. I think about that too. I think about, like, you know, he died about the same time we met and he was like a tech guy. Like, I think that's why I think why we became good friends, because you have a lot of his qualities.
Well, thank you. That's a compliment.
You know,
so
yeah,
I take that as a compliment.
Yeah.
So now we did the driving show for years and years and years. Do you have a favorite, or do you have any? Oh, a couple of stories. We were asked to do. We did Live Oak as a commentator.
Oh, yeah, that was actually really fun. That was great.
We had a great time doing TV commentating at Live Oak.
The
big driving
thing was
here.
Like super lame. We were so lame. Remember, we were like, we don't know what to do with our hands.
That's right. Like, we were terrible at video.
We were horrible. And they were making fun of us. And we're like, what the hell? We're podcasters.
Although we did the best coverage I think they've ever had, to be honest.
Yeah, once we got behind the scenes, we did great coverage. But Randy and Katie are doing a great job with the covers now, too.
Yeah, they're our friends from Southern Pines, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Randy and Katie Cadwell, they're like, you know, they've been driving, they've driven everything, ponies to foreign hands, and they, you know, coach everybody, and they, you know, help a lot of top drivers. And Katie's been doing the Live Oak coverage now for years. But,
and
they, I mean, it's super fun.
They do a great job. Yeah, they do. You know, speaking
of
TV,
with all the cameras, all the different feeds coming in.
Speaking of TV, Wendy came along because we were still doing the driving show. She came along to try on for the WEG at Tryon.
Oh yeah, that was fun.
And we show up, and we're in the media room, which really was just this empty hall because they didn't have it done yet. So we're in the empty hall with extension cords hanging from the ceilings.
Oh yeah, that's right.
That's how we got our power. I'm sure it was highly illegal.
Walking in there, thinking, "Oh my God, there's like real like media here. It's not just us."
No, there was international media there. How did you end up doing NBC's coverage for the driving?
I have no idea. Okay, I think we were like doing the little show, and I went and got off to go do something. I think I went to watch jumping or something, and then somebody must have not shown up, and it was either Chester or Mike Arnold, but one of them called, I can't remember which one, but one of them called me and said, "You have to come do this thing for NBC." I'm like, what? They want me to do it for NBC?
And it was the play-by-play commentary, wasn't it?
Yeah, I had to sit there with this. I'm
with no
I
prep.
I forget the guy's name, but he's supposedly some bigwig in England that does all the coverage for races and everything. Like he's like somebody, and I was like, "What? Okay." And I just went there and I thought,
"But you had zero prep. It was like an hour. You had to get there and do
this." Remember, I got up in the morning and I just. And Kyle got us bacon sandwiches, and I'm like, bye.
And we didn't see her the rest of the day.
We're off to the slaughter. It'll either be good or bad. I don't know.
It was good, though. You did a great job. Everybody loved it. They all loved it.
It was pretty fun. Well,
you knew all the drivers, too. That helped. You knew it.
I think that's what they needed. They needed somebody that knew the drivers. And because I had done the foreign hand, and I had done some stuff with, like, Randy and Katie, with, like, remember Randy with her pony Caban. We went to the pony championships. And when we were doing the foreign hand stuff, and even when I was driving single, the USEF was bringing over a lot of Europeans to come over and help us. So I kind of knew who was who going on. And so that was helpful because the other person commentating was great as a sportscaster, but didn't necessarily know driving.
Mm-hmm.
So I just had to throw in some like, you know, random stuff, which like I excel at that.
You did the color, basically the color commentary.
Just throw in some filler.
Wendy, like, the filler.
And also they have the producers talking in your ear while you're talking, which was kind of interesting because they had never done that before.
It's very disconcerting, isn't it?
Yeah. And then I remember the one time where the guy was like totally amazed, where I'm like, okay, I think I pulled this off. There was this downtime because somebody rolled over or something. So you know what happens, like everything stops and it's live TV. So how boring is that, right? So you have to sit there and yap about whatever. And I said, oh, well, you know, because he said, oh, that's interesting. There's like one gray one out front. And I said, oh, well, you know, monocle, you know why there's a gray one out front? I said, when they're driving at night, they put a gray one out front so that you might be able to see them when you're crossing the road. And he, like, the guy turned at me and looked at me like, oh, my God. Einstein. He was like, oh, thank you, Barry, for all that useless knowledge you keep telling me about.
We did learn something doing the show, too. So
I know. But I think that that part of driving is so interesting. That's what I love about driving.
We had so many good guests on over the years. We really did. And we had some fun ones, too, because we got into driving other things, dogs and goats. And
remember the crazy dog guy?
Yes.
That was like, he was like essentially like a adrenaline junkie. And he made that tricycle and then he hooked up two like Weimaraners to it. He jumped rocks and things with it.
I think we did a dog sled person once. We did goat, the lady that drove the goats.
She was great.
Do you have any memories that stick out? Wag, obviously, because you got to do NBC.
But. Wag. I liked the goat driving.
We liked the odd stuff.
I liked the odd stuff. I did, like I said, I liked the dog one. I don't know. There are so many that are so good. I liked all of them.
And so Wendy also, that's where we started doing the Chinese medicine stuff, was during the driving show. She would do a Chinese medicine section for each episode. And that was actually hard after a while because, you know, finding something new to talk about.
But I think that was good because it forced me to blog, you know, which is kind of good.
They always say teaching makes you better, you know, because it makes you think about things, right, that you've forgotten about.
I mean, that's true, because I had to really prep for those because I knew you were just going to sit there and, like, I don't know what you're doing, Facebooking, who knows what you're doing. You wouldn't talk. So I'd have to talk for like 20 minutes about Chinese medicine and like go, right, Glenn? And you'd go,
She would yell at me about that. That's one thing Wendy would get mad at me about. And by the way, we still do a health segment every Wednesday, and Jamie does them, and I still just zone out.
You don't listen? Why don't you get a guest on? This is what I should do. I should come on and so that I can talk to her about. You should get different vets to come on.
We do every Wednesday. We have a health segment, and she handles them, and I just zone out.
She does. So
Yeah, I don't do it.
I see.
Yeah. So nothing's changed,
that's
Wendy.
Helpful.
Nothing has
that's
changed.
That's helpful. She's interested.
Yeah, she cares.
You know, that's true. The times that I have done the Chinese medicine one with Jennifer, it was way better.
Yeah, well, definitely. Because she cares about.
Yeah, she cares.
See, I'm a horse husband. I don't care about the health stuff. Jennifer handles that. She does all that.
I don't care about that at all.
You know. But
I do like the health subjects. And I think when you're doing podcasts, especially like for this, I think the health segments, whether they're like, you know, holistic health or any kind of health subject, is really easy to listen to. And it touches something for everybody. Like the Lyme episodes we did were great.
They were good.
And you can, that's for people, horses, dogs, you know.
Yeah. And I could relate to those. I had something to add to those.
Yeah. You paid attention to
those. Yeah. I did. That's the one thing I did.
That's what I'm saying. That's what the health segments are good for everything.
Well, for Wendy, we're going to take a quick commercial break. And now that we've talked about the past, we're going to come back and we're going to talk about what the heck you're up to now. So everybody can get up to date on what's Wendy and Kyle doing. So we're going to come back right after this. As horse owners, we have an unlimited supply of love for our animals, but we tend to underestimate the cost of their care. Routine and unexpected expenses can quickly add up, making it hard to keep pace. Wouldn't it feel great to always be prepared with a budget-friendly way to manage these costs? The Care Credit Health and Animal Care Credit Card can give you that financial peace of mind you're looking for. With flexible financing from Care Credit, you can get the care your horse needs and then pay over time in easy monthly payments. You can use Care Credit at more than 25,000 veterinary hospitals that accept the card, and use it to pay for everything from diagnostics and surgery to wellness exams and routine care. Care Credit is your card for a lifetime of care. Subject to credit approval. To learn more and apply, visit carecredit.com/vetmed. All right, we're back talking to Dr. Wendy Ying, who, by the way, was part owner of the Horse Radio Network as well. So we forgot to mention that. So that happened probably 2012 or thereabouts, and I still appreciate to that day. And, oh, by the way, it paid off. So Wendy did all right.
It totally paid off. It's my best investment yet besides Tesla.
She waited a few years, but it paid off. You met Kyle after you started.
That's why, Glenn, because I believed in you.
You did, and I thank you. I appreciate that greatly, actually.
And Jennifer.
That was the only reason
Jamie.
You did it. So you met Kyle after we started the show.
Yeah, I met Kyle. I was still living in Kentucky. I went to Cairo training in Kansas, and I met him at because he's a chiropractor.
Right. And you got together, though, after you moved to Sarasota.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Kyle's been the best thing that ever happened to Wendy. Can I say that?
Yeah, of course.
And
I think so, too.
He's an unbelievable cook, and he's just the nicest guy. And he also runs Wendy's business, so that helps, too.
Oh, my God. He is like the ultimate practice manager. He's so great.
Because Wendy is like me. We're terrible at lists. We're terrible at what we're supposed to do next. Yeah. We're terrible
organizing
at all that
schedule.
Stuff. Yes. So Kyle organized her life, and now she's successful. Look at that.
I know. It's because, you know what, he always makes fun of me because when people say, like, just like say I have someone coming over to pick something up, right? Like right now, I have like our old washer and dryer on Craigslist. So if they call me, I'm like, oh yeah, come over. I'm home all day. He's like, don't say that. Give them a time and make them meet you at a specific time. Otherwise, you're going to be waiting around all day. And I'm like, oh yeah, that's true.
So you have a Kyle. I have a Jennifer who keeps me straight and makes sure I show up when I'm supposed to at things. You know, everybody needs one of those. So you met Kyle and you've been together for what? How long now? 10, 15 years? 15?
Well,
it's got to be 13.
We figured it out this weekend because it was our anniversary, we call it. And it's like 13 years,
13
I think.
Years, yeah. So you live in Sarasota and you're a vet, obviously, and a Chinese medicine practitioner for vet side. So what are you doing currently for veterinary stuff?
Well, Sarasota used to be the winter home for the Barnum and Bailey Circus.
Yep.
Sorry, not Barnum, the Ringling Brothers Circus.
Yep.
And people here have like every kind of animal you can imagine, which is super fun. And it used to be real horsey here in Sarasota, but it's not horsey here anymore because like the rest of Florida, it's really kind of getting paved over.
Mm.
So there's not a lot of horses here. Most of the horse people here are like, you know, there's a lot of horse vets and not a lot of horses. So, but there's a ton of dogs. And so I never thought this would happen, but we've actually just gone to dogs and cats. And I never even thought I would do small animal, let alone specialize in small animal. But the thing is, I'm not leaving Sarasota. No way.
Anybody that hasn't been to Sarasota, first of all, it has literally ranked the number one beach in the country year after year after year after year. It's happened all the time that way. And it's kind of a higher end, more upscale town than a lot of the others in Florida.
Kind of a higher. You want me to tell you something where I went today?
Yeah, go ahead.
I had to do an appointment today. And I was like, oh, it's on Siesta Key, which is one of our barrier islands. So I go down this road. I went to like this $10 million house to treat a dog. And I was like, I've been to a lot of fancy barns, but like being in the $10 million house to treat their dog was like awesome.
Now you're doing a lot of euthanasia too. I know it's kind of a depressing topic, but you're one of the very few vets that will go to people's houses, right? For that.
Yeah. And that's like starting to be a new way that most people want to do it because especially with old dogs, you know, and when you're an acupuncturist, just face the facts. You're going to be treating really old dogs. You're going to be treating dogs that blew their back out and you're going to be treating, you know, dogs with horrible hip arthritis that can't walk.
Mm-hmm.
So all three of those can't really get into the car. Right.
Right.
So, and dogs, it's sad, but I always say to people, it's like their lives kind of go 10 times faster than a person's life, right? So Like they only live to be like a old dog would be like 14, you know? So they age so quickly. So it's like in the blink of an eye, oh, they look kind of old and gray. And then all of a sudden they can't walk. And there is going to come a time when they have to euthanize them, and getting them in the car that last time is so difficult.
And heartbreaking.
Yeah. And they're painful because they don't want to be touched, you know, or, you know, ones that are real old, a lot of them have dementia. Mm-hmm. So they don't like to, I mean, some of they don't like to go to the vet anyways, but you know, when I show up, they don't know I'm the vet because they've never seen a house call vet before. And unless they're my acupuncture patient, but if they're my acupuncture patient, you know, they're happy to see me. So it's just easier. And then, you know, especially if they have little kids, it's much easier to be at the house with the kids or the other dogs.
So is this all referral business? You built it through referrals, or how are you getting the business?
Yeah, there's a lot of referrals. There's a lot of vet practices that refer us because for vets with a brick and mortar clinic too, it's like, you know, they would rather the dogs be euthanized at home too. I mean, of course they would do it if the people come in, but it's real sad for everybody, you know, and then you have to come into the waiting room and everybody's there. So a lot of vets refer us. And then, I don't know if you know this, Glenn, but I have been doing a lot of SEO things.
No,
and I do our own. I've always done my own website even since the 90s. And I've just like jumped into the 21st century.
Look at you go. You tell me you're on TikTok too now.
No, I'm not on TikTok. I'm not great at SEO things, you know. So I'm not great at the social media, but I'm very good at the SEOs. And also, remember like 6 months ago, I was like very anti-AI because I watched too many Terminator movies. Mm-hmm. And I said, oh my God, Skynet's going to go live and kill us all. Well, I've totally changed my mind about that. And like Grok and I are best friends.
It is a tool that is useful. Yeah. It's a tool that's useful for a lot of different things people don't even think about, you know? It just saves you time.
When you go to search, right? When you go to search something, like search like holistic vet near me.
You come up?
Of course I come up because that's your website is like how you get all your clients. But I didn't get this before, right? I mean, I had a website, but I was like kind of, you know, it wasn't great. I didn't know how to do the SEO part, which is what you pay web designers to do. Because they know the secrets in the back that gets you when you say who, you know, whatever near me, how that comes up. And also, you know, when you talk to AI, like a lot of people, you probably don't do this because, you know, we're old, but like my brother, he never Googles anything. He just talks to his phone and tells them to find it for him. So how do you think AI finds that? It's all in the back. You have to talk to the computers. And my website was not set up for that.
So your dad would be very proud of you right now.
I know. You know what? I told Kyle the other day. I said, I feel like my dad has been reincarnated into Grok because all the stuff I would have asked my dad, like, Dad, how do I do this? And then Grok just tells me. He would have loved AI.
Yeah, he would have.
He would have loved AI.
He was very, at the beginning of all this technology and was very successful at it. So let's talk about Kyle. Kyle, a lot of people might not know, is also a doctor. He's a chiropractor and taught chiropractic at a college for many, 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 many years. Is he still doing that or is he running your practice pretty much full time?
No, he started doing the practice full time like 2 years ago.
Okay. So he's not teaching college anymore?
Mm-mm.
Does he miss grading all those papers?
No, he's happy about it. He was doing that when I met him, actually, too. He was doing it like he was putting people into the office, like training. This is what's so great about Kyle as a practice manager. He was training human medical people to go deal with human clients.
Right.
You know, like human medicine. And when you're a horse vet, well, probably any kind of vet, right? We vets are not great with people.
No.
That's just why, I mean, you have to admit it at some point. Like, we can lie to ourselves, but so he is so great at that. So he handles all that. But he's also like taught people how to talk to your medical clients. So he's like perfect at that.
That's great. And he's a fantastic, unbelievable cook. Let's throw that in there, too.
Oh, he is a good cook.
There's a reason Jennifer and I come down to visit. It's not to see you, Wendy.
What did he cook when you came down? Did he do the
brisket,
dino ribs?
I think, or something. It was.
I think he did the dino ribs.
Oh, yeah. It was good. I mean, I remember eating it all through Radiothon. it was great.
Yeah, it was the dino ribs. Yeah, because we had three meals out of it.
Yes, we did. It was a good thing, too, because we were pretty busy.
He has a huge smoker. And he has a Weber grill,
you know.
But he cooks a lot inside too.
You know, new listeners might not remember that might not know that Wendy was my co-host for the first 4 or 5 years of Radiothon. Used to come up to the house, and came up to the house and would hang out. You come up the night before. And then we'd get up early and we'd go over the whole itinerary for all 12 hours we were going to do live.
Oh, my God.
And then we'd sit
there.
Remember
the first one we did? The first one was great.
Yes. And we'd sit there and we'd drink, starting pretty much at 9 in the morning. And then by the end of the day, we were a little silly.
Are you sure we started drinking in the morning?
No, I don't think we did. We probably did afternoon because we wouldn't have made it till 9 at night.
I don't know.
We wouldn't have made it. Remember, I always had champagne. Always had bottles of champagne there, and Jennifer was in the other room, and then a couple times
Jennifer had to book all the guests.
Yes, and she had to handle the phones. Remember, we were taking live calls during that time.
Oh my God, that's right! I forgot about that.
We'd get hundreds of calls that day.
Yeah, you do recorded. People submit recorded things.
Yeah, and then we'd get the live callers, and we'd put them on, and she would screen them.
And you were at that house in Ocala, right? You were at the house with the general?
Yep, that's right. We had good internet there, too. That was the farm we lived at when we moved here for about 8 years.
That was a great house.
Yeah, it was. And I remember that. I'll never forget that. So
that was hard to do with all those callers. I don't know how she did it.
I don't know. There were hundreds. it was something. We did do some crazy things, that's for sure. Well, I'm glad to hear you're doing well down there. So you're happy with your practice?
Oh my God, I couldn't be happier. I couldn't be happier. The people are nice. The animals are nice. You know, I still have my horses here. And
yeah, how many horses do you have on the property anymore?
I have three. I lost Duke, who's like mommy's baby, my favorite one. I lost him last year to colic, you know. And I have his brother, Dante, who's 25 now.
I was going to say, you must have all old senior citizens at this point.
Yeah. And Dante, remember, people who've listened to the show know Dante had EPM many years ago. So,
and he's still around.
I can't believe he's still like kicking around. I mean, we ride him and he drives. He's fine. He recovered. And for a while, remember, he was blind. He couldn't drink water.
That's right.
And I had to make this like pool noodle paddock for him because he could only turn right.
And now he's just fine. He just got through it.
Yeah. He didn't just get through it. But when we gave him tons of like conventional treatment and TCVM treatment. But if it was my client's horse, I probably would have suggested putting him down. But since it was my horse, I was like, well, the day he doesn't get up is the day I'm going to euthanize him. And he probably heard me say that.
He never laid down again.
I'm not laying down. He probably couldn't lay down because he was too dizzy, but he didn't lay down. And I don't know. He got better and better a little over time. And then he's great.
And you have two others then?
I have one that I bred when I was in vet school, and her name's Pixel. She's an Irish draft cross. And
how old is she?
She is 29.
Oh my gosh.
29.
Oh my gosh.
But one of my friends bought her. Like, she's been through a couple Irish draft people. Like, we've had Sarah and Tony Phillips on the show before. They're big Irish draft people. They had her for a long time and bred her and bred like really beautiful babies. And one of her babies went on to be like this fancy eventer and the trainer of the eventer was I'm going blank now, a paradriver person that we had on the show.
Okay.
But she came back to me as a 19-year-old, and because they wanted to retire her, but she's going strong. I ride her too. She rides like I sold her when she was six, and I got on her, and she's like the exact same horse. She's like so easy to ride. And then I have Abby, the one we took to the parade
when he was in Aiken. Yeah.
In Aiken with Muffy and Doug.
Yep.
And he is, he's the young one. He's like 16.
So you have almost a senior citizen center going there.
Yeah. He should do more. But since we're in Sarasota and retired, he just walks around.
They have a nice place to live, though. You have a nice place there. Except the hurricane time.
But this horse is so funny because I did that, you know, that training, the clicker training. I did the clicker training with him.
Oh, yeah.
And he
yeah.
loves it. So he thinks that that's all he should do is do clicker training and eat.
There you go. Well, that's my idea of fun, too. Well, yeah. Wendy, we're going to take another break, and then we're going to come back, and I want to talk to you a little bit about what you see for the future.
Tired of flies bugging your barn? Kill flies before they hatch with Fly Predators, nature's fly-fighting secret that can kill as many as 70,000 flies in a single delivery. Start early and enjoy fewer flies all season. Learn more at spalding-labs.com.
So, Wendy, I know we're both getting a little older. So you're not, I am, because Asians never age for some reason.
Oh, well, you're wrong there. You know, actually, it's really funny. I'm going gray. I don't know if you saw it when you came down here, but it's gotten real severe.
Severe? Since you last saw me. Are you embracing it or hiding it?
No, I'm embracing it. I have these because I do acupuncture. Like, I look like this ancient, you know, Chinese, witch.
Yeah.
But you know, in the kung fu movies, it's only the bad women that go gray.
Oh, that's true.
It's the evil ones that
that's
go
true.
Gray.
That's true. And they're always evil witches.
You know why they go gray? Because they're not all Chinese. If I was all Chinese, I wouldn't go gray.
Oh, that's true, isn't
they're
it?
I'm not pure.
Yeah.
I'm not pure.
Yeah, because your mother was, your dad was, but your mom wasn't.
My dad's Chinese, but my mom is Caucasian.
Yeah, she was Swedish or something, wasn't she?
No, she's like a mix of like English, German.
Okay.
Probably some Canadian in there, but we don't admit to that.
So what's for the future? What do you see? Do you see yourself just keeping doing what you're doing for as long as you can do it? Or what are you thinking?
I don't know. I mean, I don't really plan. I should, I guess.
Do you have any desire to get back into driving competitively at all?
I mean, I think it would be fun, but you met my friend Dave Hirsch from Pennsylvania, right?
Mm-hmm.
He used to drive the Four in Hand of Hofflingers.
Yeah, yeah.
Remember him?
Yeah.
And Dave said to me, like, well, once you drive pair, driving single is like kissing your sister. And he's so right. Like, I remember the reason I drove Four in Hand was I remember turning 40, right? And I think I had just finished vet school. Yeah, I had just finished vet school. I turned 40 and I was like getting into driving. And I said, you know what? When I'm 40, no, I must have been just turning 30. I said, when I'm 40, I'm going to drive a four in hand. And everybody's like, yeah, whatever. You're not going to do that. But I did. You know, by the time I was 40, I drove that four in hand because that was 2010. And I felt like that was super fun. And while I would love to do it, you know, I would need to win the lottery and have like a full-time staff to do it now.
It's a lot of work and it's very expensive.
Yeah. And just like driving, like when you go to a show, you need to take six horses.
You need a big rig. You need a lot of people.
Yeah. Cleaning the carriages.
I know. I just don't have. I know what you're saying. It's just, who is the effort?
I was like, I can't braid all of these horses.
Who is the energy for that?
I actually did. You know how I was famous for roaching the horse's manes?
Mm-hmm.
It happened at one of the first shows I drove pair. Because I was like, screw this. I can't. these names. And I was like, you know what? I just invented the International Sport Cob Registry, and these horses are to be shown with a roached mane. And I roached their manes off. And
you and the fjords. You were matching the fjords.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, I probably was stabled next to fjords or something. And I was like, oh, those people. Those people are so smart. So that's so I would love to show again, but I think if I started showing again, I would do like, you know, ridden dressage or something. Cause I like to ride ridden dressage. I showed a little bit of ridden dressage, you know, but
when you have some neighbors down there that do that. So
yeah.
I mean, it's common in your area. You have some jumpers down there. You have some dressage people, some eventers down that way.
You know what else we have that's like super cool? We have a barn that does reining.
Oh, really?
And you can go there and you can ride like a real reining horse. I've always wanted to do that.
Jennifer tried it, and I know Jamie's tried it. And the thing they keep telling him is, "Let the horse do its job. Get out of its way."
You have to just have a really strong core and sit on it.
Yeah, you're micromanaging.
Yeah. And I like fox hunting. You know, like I would.
Well,
like
yeah, you were big fox hunting.
Yeah, and I fox hunted a little down here, but you know, it's like we don't live close to any place that you can fox hunt.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a long drive to go fox hunting. So, you know, I'm glad I had the chance to do all that stuff, but now I kind of like taking my poodle to the beach.
Do you see yourself retiring from the current vet schedule or just reducing vet schedule and keeping working?
Well, I mean, I guess at some point I have to retire, but I'm only 55.
Yeah. See another 10 years.
How old
yet.
Are you, Glenn? How old are you?
63.
You are not.
Yeah, I am. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I thought we were the same age.
No, no, I'm still older than you. I'm still an older brother.
You're still my older brother.
Yeah, that's
well,
right.
Well, I mean, you don't feel like slowing down, right? You're 63.
I am slowing down. I'm not running the network anymore. So, I mean,
that's true.
I am kind of slowing down.
But you're still doing the interviews.
Yeah, still. I mean, no, it's funny because people are joking with me about being retired. I still am in charge of 20 episodes a month. That's 5 times what most podcasters do in a month. So,
20 episodes a month.
We got horses in the mornings every day, 20 episodes a month. So, people joke about me being retired. I'm still working as much. I'm just not working 100 hours a week anymore, you know, so that's nice. Yeah. And I don't have to pay the bills. You know, I have to make the hard decisions. Now I just go to Ashley and I say, Ashley, here it is. You decide.
So, yeah, that's great.
You know,
I think that's real great.
A lot of principles. We discussed this when I sold. You and I discussed this when I sold the company. Because, you know, part of the concern is when you're not in charge anymore, when you sell the company, you have a boss, is that doesn't work out 99% of the time.
Yeah.
And 99% of the time, the principal that sold the company is out within 6 months. And I told you, and I don't know if you believe me or Jennifer believe me, but I said, I'm good with this. I am okay with all of this. I'm okay not being the boss, paying the bills anymore, or any of that. And I really was. And look, I'm still here. So it's like.
Yeah, but you know why? You know why? Because you don't micromanage people. That's why you were so successful. Why you are so successful. Because if you tried to micromanage everybody, this would totally fail. It's like herding cats.
That's true.
How are you going to micromanage all these horse girls? Not happening.
And they were so type A anyway. There was no managing to be.
How can you manage horse people? You can't.
And the other thing, too, was I had almost died about 5 times in 2020. You know, the listeners know some of that story, but they don't probably know all of it. But, you know, I was pretty close a couple times there in 2020, and you know it all because you were helping me through all of that on the Chinese medicine side. But that gives you a whole new perspective on life, and it really did. It made me realize that I can't continue the pace I was at. That wasn't going to happen. And then the opportunity just came up to sell the company. It was like, this is perfect timing. It was meant to be. You know, you and I also believe that what happens, happens for a reason. If it doesn't happen, it didn't happen for a reason. We're firm believers in that. And, it happened for a reason, and the reason was I was supposed to cut back so I could live longer, right? So,
But see, aren't you glad that you did all the stuff you did? Like, you know how, what I always thought when I was younger is I don't want to live my whole life and look back and say, oh, I wish I did. And, you know, of course, there's some things I wish I did do,
right?
Like some decisions I took, but,
and you know, which we didn't do.
Yeah.
A few of those too.
Yeah, exactly. But like, you know, I never thought I'd make it to 55. You know, when you're young, you think, oh, I'm not going to make it to 30. So, you know, it's good that we did all these things. I mean, you've had tons of adventures. You and Jen lived on that 100-acre farm. And, you know, then you lived in Massachusetts and like running the fox hunting club and, you know, your stock trading.
Yeah, we did have a adventurous life.
Starting the podcast thing, like that was cutting edge. Starting a podcast then, because think back to that. You know, I was thinking about this. You started in 2009.
I did my first one in 2006.
You did?
Yeah, with Helena, we did one called the Talking Equine Show before Horse Radio Network, and that was 2008. We started Stable Scoop. Yeah.
Yeah, 2006. Like I remember, like. Hearing about podcasts and, you know, like I remember Steve Jobs did that thing on GarageBand and did like the first podcast.
They really officially started as kind of this RSS feed thing in 2004. Yeah. So it was only a couple of years in. And you're right. Yeah. It was cutting. We didn't know how to do it. There was no tools like there is today. You know, yeah. I was talking to John the Geek
back in 2006 that you could go and just record this and put it out and anybody would even listen to it.
Right. It was hard to listen. It was hard.
Yeah, it was hard to listen. Even when we did it in 2011.
It was still hard.
I remember you explaining to people how to listen because especially a lot of our driving people, they didn't even know how to listen. They're like, what channel is it on the radio?
I still get that, by the way. Still,
and that's
do
why
get
you that. Named it Horse Radio Network.
That's right.
Because you talk about that at the podcast bro meetings.
Yep, that's right. Because it was because nobody knew what a podcast was. And if I had named it Horse Podcast Network, nobody would have known what it was. And, you know, later on when podcasts became famous, popular, I was wishing I had named it Horse Podcast Network. And we've talked about rebranding it at some point, too. That's not
Does somebody have that, Horse Podcast Network?
No, I think we did.
Well, you better buy it right now.
No, I think we did. Out. We bought it, I think.
Oh, good.
But, you know, that's not my decision to make anymore. So.
No, you can buy it and then sell it to them.
I think I already sold it to him.
Clan. I hope you got a good deal.
But you're right. I mean, you know, we've had some adventures over the years, that's for sure. And you know, all my best friends now are from podcasting. Either they're other podcasters in other spaces or people I've met through Horse Radio Network, like you know, one of our best friends because of podcasting. And I'm grateful for that because our last 18 years really have been all about our podcast friends and hosts and listeners. Our listeners. I mean, we're the best group of listeners.
I know. You go on cruises with them and everything.
Yeah. I mean, in the auditor room. I mean, there's no more active room than the auditor room.
Yeah. I love the auditor room.
But you're a great part of that. This, I want to tell everybody now, and I'm being sincere, that we would not be here today. We would not be talking to each other on the Horses in the Morning show without Wendy, because she came through for us at a time that was really lean. It was like, we were broke at the time we went to Wendy and said, do you want to invest in our little company so we can keep going? Because it was in the early days of podcasting, and there was just, we had put all our money into it, and it was lean in advertising in those early days. And then after you invested, it just seemed to go better. You know, everything started going, it turned the corner. That was the point, though, every business goes through, right, Wendy? Every business goes through that point where you're either going to quit, and probably 80% of people do, or you find a way to keep going, and then it turns the corner. And that's the point we were at.
Well, like, you know how we were talking about the different choices you make in life, that zigs and zags? Like, if you decided not to continue, right, at that moment, I mean, that's when podcasting was really coming on. And you went up to that trade show, and those people, the people that go to the trade shows are all these people on the cutting edge of marketing, right? Mm-hmm. And what did they all see when you went up there? They're like, oh my God, podcast. We need to get in on that. Like, they didn't know what it was, but they knew that they had to get in on that because that was the future.
That was Kentucky, you know, Performance Products was the first too. Yeah, they were the first. You're right. And it was the turn the corner, but we wouldn't be here today without you. So thank you for that. I still thank you to today. I know that I thanked you with a very large check a couple years ago. which is what Wendy was hoping to see someday.
Yeah, exactly.
Be honest, though. Had you just written that money off when you gave it? You said, oh, I'm never going to see that again. Did you say that to Kyle?
No. You made me a great deal, and it was a very fair deal. And if we never sold the network, it still would have been great. But selling the network was the icing on the cake.
There you go. Well, thank you and Kyle for your friendship and everything else. And obviously, we're still continuing to be friends, so that's not a problem. But that's the other nice thing is, you know, I talked to Samantha and Helena earlier in the week, and they're no longer doing shows on the network, but yet we still talk to them all the time. Helena doesn't do a show anymore, and you know Samantha did the WEG shows with me, but we're still friends and we still talk all the time like it was yesterday. So that is the wonderful thing that has come out of all of this. More than the money, even, because you know what, money's money, but friendships are hard to come by and hard to keep. So
well, I think that I've noticed that about you with your attitude when you told me your story about like how you were doing the trading and the stock and all that. And then you got sick when you know, and it makes you realize that, you know, so there's been times in my life where I was like, oh my God, you know, like the money isn't what you think it is.
Right.
Right. Cause when you don't have money, you always think, oh, if I only had money, my problems would be solved. Yeah. But that's not always the case.
You know, Lyme disease and cancer don't care if you're rich or poor.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah. Well, thank you, Wendy. I appreciate you joining me again. It's good to have you on a mic again. Hey, we're talking having Dr. Wendy back, actually, occasionally to talk. And this time will be a little different. You're going to talk about dog medicine and veterinary medicine for dogs, right?
Yeah, I'm going to talk about dog medicine. Sarasota is not just for retired people. It's also for old dogs. And I have a ton of geriatric clients down here. And I myself, in fact, have a geriatric dog. And I love treating geriatric dogs. I've always had old dogs. And so that's kind of becoming my specialty. So I thought when I come back, I'll do a little talk about old dogs because, look, we're horse people. We all have old dogs at some point in our lives.
It's true. And actually, I think most horse people probably have more dogs than they do horses.
Yeah.
On an average.
I think so, too.
Thank you, Wendy.
Of varying ages and ailments.
Tell Kyle I said hello.
All right. Well, thank you, Glenn. And say hi to Jennifer.
Well, I hope you enjoyed all our guests this week and a look back at the history of the Horse Radio Network and also getting caught up with what everybody is up to now. It certainly has been a joy for me to catch up with these three. And hopefully we'll do this again in another 10 years and we'll see what everybody's up to then. Thanks for joining us this week. We really do appreciate it. Have a terrific weekend. Be safe, everybody. And we'll see you back here on Monday morning.